Save big on landscaping projects at Menards. Transform your outdoor living space with easy, no-cut block projects. From fire pits and grill stations to planters and fountains, we offer hundreds of free project plans that are easy to build with no block cutting required. Check out our huge selection of concrete landscaping block at Menards. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Will Kunkel.
What up, gang? Will Kunkel live, kicking it with Kunkel here in Edo at the Rodeo Goat. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at this burger menu. It is unbelievable. I will be here, your host, live instead of Rich Eisen. So if you're tuning in for Rich Eisen, I'm sorry for your loss, but I will be here with you talking Houston sports. Of course, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals and the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. We will talk about the Astros, the fact that they lose another series to a dog doo-doo team, one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the
It is the worst team in the American League.
Just trash.
Record-wise.
That's Brian. I'm Will Kunkel. Sean Mapes back in studio producing today. We appreciate you guys coming down here. Come on down to Edo. It's buzzing. It's a lot of fun. There's going to be giveaways sponsored by Michelob Ultra. They're going to be doing what is like the equivalent of a soccer skee ball contest. They're going to give away two tickets starting at 2 o'clock until about 4:15. So the way this works is you can get a whole bunch of points, you rack up points, and if you're in the top eight within that time frame, you advance to the finals, and you have a chance to win two tickets to a FIFA World Cup game, which is insane. That's like a several thousand dollar giveaway here at Rodeo Goat. We got specials going on. We got cocktails, FIFA World Cup style cocktails. I'm wearing a scarf. I don't even know what this scarf says that I was just given
Huntington
by
Bank,
Alexi.
Our presenting
Huntington
sponsor.
Bank. Yes. You know what's crazy, which I don't have now, I just realized I don't have my wallet. I actually
unrelated.
Yeah. Which, by the way, honey, if you're listening, do you have my wallet? Where is my wallet?
We're a Rodeo Goat. Please bring it up here.
Yeah, gee whiz. I actually have Huntington Bank.
Do you?
I am a.
Okay.
Are you a member? What do you think?
Yeah, you'd be called a member.
I am a member of Huntington Bank because they have a prominent stance in Ohio, and I lived in Toledo. I became and bouncing around bank to bank is no long is not like no.
No,
purpose.
I don't like. Yeah. So, I've had the same bank since the 90s.
Same. So Huntington Bank, I'm a member of, as well as Chase. So I can wear this Huntington Bank scarf proudly. Or would it be Huntington Football Club? Anyway.
Raid the joke. 713-780-3776.
Zero. We got FIFA-themed cocktails down here. We got the red card, the Copa Colada, the orange Olay, and, of course, the Dad Bod Rodeo Goat Burger, which entails a beef patty, fried mac and cheese patty, applewood smoked bacon, queso arugula. Oh, thank God we got the greens in there. A Fresno aioli.
To make it a little healthier there.
For $14. Not too bad.
Now, you're a semi-recent dad. Your son was born in September?
Daughter.
Daughter, my bad.
No, it's okay. She identifies as daughter.
So, but you don't have a dad bod, so I don't know which side of the dad bod burger aisle you will fall on this.
I will fall on. I better get to the gym or else okay. I will have a dad bod.
There you go.
Wasn't able to get to the gym today, unfortunately. I'm live on TikTok, by the way, everybody. You can live or you can watch that just at Will Kunkel. We are live on the YouTube page of ESPN 97.5. Golly, the question's all about Jordan being thrown out at the plate. That's like the least of their concerns.
Obviously, he was out by a mile, though.
Yeah, out by just by furlongs, if you will. I want to talk about Texans minicamp because we're a Houston-based show. I understand the NBA Finals getting a lot of attention, but let's talk about Houston Texans minicamp wrapping up today, what you need to worry about, what matters, what does not matter, what is all the noise. For instance, here something I don't care about, and I talked about this with Jeremy on the show last week, is I don't care about the results, generally speaking, of offense versus defense. There's no pads. It's not the middle of the season. You're working on certain things. And so I don't care about if CJ goes 4 of 7. I don't care if he goes 1 for 5. I don't care if he goes 6 for 6. What I do care about is who's lining up where, which is Keelan Rutledge playing center. I care about Tank Dell and how he looks and just kind of the pace and speed in which he's going, which today was – I saw Tank Dell do more today than I've seen him do since he got hurt. Like, today he was extremely active. He was working with the trainers on the side and as explosive as I've seen him before. So when training camp starts, Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Texans, has made note that that's when we're really going to see Tank Dell. And we've seen him even more than we thought during OTAs and minicamp. But when training camp hits, I think it's going to be full go for number one, which is going to be super exciting. But also, like, pump your brakes on the expectations of Tank Dell. He's coming off an insane major knee reconstruction surgery, and what he's going to be able to do, I have no idea. And I don't mean like what he's going to be cleared to do. I mean what he's physically capable of doing. Does it return to what happened prior to the injury? I don't know, man. Like, this is an injury that has destroyed careers. Now, Cecil Shorts III had an injury this way, and it ruined his career. It ended it, but he was on the back end of his career, to be fair to him. But nonetheless, really cool to see him out there today being as explosive and as high speed as he was. He was working out with primarily, when I watched him, the ones mixed in with the twos. But a good day for him. But Sean, I want to play the soundbite, because what happened today after practice was all the position coaches broke off on the field, and media had an opportunity to go up to all the position coaches and talk to them, including Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, but also the new quarterbacks coach, Jerry Schaplinski. Am I saying that right? Schaplinski?
Beats me.
The hell if you know.
I don't know.
Say yes.
Yes.
Jerry Schaplinski.
I mean, you nailed it, Will.
Right.
Good job.
He was asked about the improvements of C.J. Stroud, what they're focusing on, and here's Jerry Schaplinski, the quarterbacks coach for your Houston Texans, what he had to say.
Yeah, I think we've already seen it. The big thing we talked about as an offense in general is just when we talked, when we got in phase one, was operation and building our foundation. And so there was probably a lot of issues we had last year, get the line of scrimmage, hurrying up to get the playoff. And so the big thing we pushed on all of our offense is getting the huddle right, getting the play call in, getting the play called, breaking the huddle fast, using the shifts, being able to use the motions and still have plenty of time to operate and also use cadence with that. So that's a big emphasis we put on everybody. They've done a nice job, but now we'll just try to carry it over to training camp.
Okay. All right, so first of all, Schaplinski, by the way, is a first-year quarterbacks coach. He's replacing – He's really the – I guess he's the senior offensive assistant and pass game specialist as well under the Texans in 25, but now he's the quarterback's coach. So he knows what the issues there were last year. He's replacing Gerard Johnson, by the way, as a quarterback's coach. I don't have a problem with them focusing – Does that sound better now? Like, is it a major difference if I move the mic?
No, it's fine right there.
I want to make sure. Okay. What I have to say is very important, so I don't want anybody to miss
everything
it.
You have to say, Will.
I have no problem with the focus right now being on pre-snap operations. I don't have an issue with you focusing on cadence, getting in the huddle, getting the play call in the huddle, relaying the play call, getting to the line of scrimmage, and so on. I have no problem with that. Like, that's what you do right now in OTAs, and that's what you do right now in minicamp. But here's the issue with that being the focus right now again, is that what happened during OTAs last year? What happened during minicamp last year? What happened during training camp? What happened during the season? My biggest hang-up is that this was an issue all season long. For what, 20 weeks and counting the playoffs?
Really, other than his rookie season, it's been a problem.
That's insane.
You know what?
Was it an issue under Bobby, though?
Well, I guess not as much, because Bobby didn't give him any freedom. But I do remember D'Amico being upset at times during that sophomore season about them getting to the line too late to make any last-second checks or changes to the protection. Although it wasn't in CJ's hands, because the offensive line was making those protection calls under Bobby Slowick. But, yeah, there were definitely times where D'Amico was unhappy with the amount of time they had to make checks and changes at the line because of how late they were getting out of the huddle.
Under Bobby. So it's still an issue. So if that's all the case, and obviously this is falling somewhere with C.J. Stroud, right? And
yeah.
His ability to relay the play. I mean, I don't understand what's taking so long
You know what I take away from that? Earlier in OTAs, D'Amico came out, and I think it might have been day one of OTAs, and he was asked about the offense, where they're at this season versus last season. Yeah, and that was his comment. He said, like, we're much further along in the install, as you would expect, in year two of Nick Haley, and we've never been this far along at this time of the year. But that kind of flies in the face of what you were talking about just now. If they're still having to work on, you know, the getting to the huddle, getting the plays called quickly, and that sort of stuff that should be handled really, really early in the process, then that can't also be true that they're further along in the install than they've ever been.
Well, it can be true from the sense that maybe you're further along in that pre-snap process, but also not having to learn the playbook because you have a larger foundation set because of the experience you had last year.
Right. Okay.
So last year you're learning everything because it is a new system. It's a new offensive coordinator. So you have that foundation, at least part of it, already installed. But you're also, to your point, reverting to the very, very basics of getting an offense put together, which, again, I don't mind it being the case right now in OTAs and minicamp. I have a major problem with it having been a problem throughout the entire regular season on a team trying to win a Super Bowl at the highest level of football in the world. Like, this isn't high school where the head coach has a job here. He's also a teacher, and you kind of get what you pay for type
he's
of deal,
teaching,
right?
Health. Teaching, like driver's ed or something.
All of that. And you're working with some dummies in high school that aren't really focused. You're working.
Right.
Like, there's a whole lot of things going on. Or even in college. I don't know. You know, like an 18-year-old. Bro, this is the NFL. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills and thinking that this is out of line. This is out of pocket, and it's completely and utterly unacceptable for an NFL offense to be still worried about this.
At the very least, every moment they spend on having to get the pre-snap checklist done is a moment they're not spending on learning new plays, getting in rhythm, you know, all the things you'd hope they'd be working at by the time training gets here.
And if we're 20 weeks from last year, not even including OTAs, mini camp, and training camp, but we're 20 weeks deep in this not being figured out, what makes you think it's going to be figured out now?
Like, I don't.
So is this like a holy hell? Like, what is happening? What do we do? And I said to Jeremy, why do we not just go to like a PitchCom situation and Nick Haley says to C.J. Stroud, play number 7. He looks at his wristband.
That's what they did under Bobby.
And everybody's got a wristband on. But now everybody's got to have a wristband and see what number 7 is. Or, you know, play G. It's just insane to me that we're still doing – not that we're doing it now, but we're still doing it from last season. That's what's just – I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I'm trying to talk my way through it with a therapist. You're my therapist. I just need a couch to lie down because I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Look, they obviously made, I think, at least on paper, a lot of improvements in the run game on offense, right? They added Wyatt Teller. They added Dallas Braden. Mm-hmm. They drafted, obviously, the guard
Jalen
out of Georgia. They drafted run-blocking offensive linemen. They made the trade for David Montgomery. They made a lot of very obvious improvements, we hope, on paper, to their running game. But the passing game, I mean, what's changed? So I kind of think to a degree the offense is going to be the passing offense at least is going to be what it was last year.
Yeah,
I just don't see a lot of reason to think that it changed.
Well, here's where I'll push.
Unless you think C.J. Stroud's going to take a major leap, but if we're still worried about pre-snap, you know, getting to the line of scrimmage and getting the play call, then why would I think C.J. Stroud's taking
the lead? Literally, for those of you that I know this is an audio medium on radio, but those of you watching on TikTok or YouTube or Twitch, I'm about to pull my hair out and rip this headset off because if that's the issue, you will never, ever, ever, ever have success. And I don't give a damn who your linemen are, who your wide receivers are, who your running backs are. It doesn't matter. Like, if you can't get to the line of scrimmage in a proper fashion in the NFL – like, what's the point of even playing? Like, it's – I feel like it doesn't even matter. All the adjustments you made, you talked about that they made to this roster offensively in the offseason, which are all good,
Who gives it to
it's him? It's all on the run side, though. Which is that's a tell in a different sense.
Kind of, not really. Like, you're better than Shaq Mason at pass blocking. You're probably better. You're probably not better than Tytus Howard necessarily.
Well, Shaq Mason's 2 years ago, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Ed Ingram
has
revamped
the whole thing. Like, yeah. Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, Tytus Howard.
Yeah,
you
no,
now have a center in Keelan Rutledge.
From when they walked off the field in Kansas City to now, pretty much it's completely overhauled.
So I think it's a better offensive line overall, whether it's pass block or run block. I mean, you're right that, like, maybe their specialties are in run block. But if you're also saying that that you're still working on getting to the line of scrimmage, then it's a moot point. And then if you're worried about C.J. Stroud being able to relay that or what, or
I just
identify
if
defenses, then we're going to go into the season hoping, wishing, and praying that it's figured out. Like, is that or and this is where I hope I'm right. That I'm completely wrong. Like, we're completely overreacting.
Early and we're, yeah, yeah.
But, and that the coaches are, like, overhyping how bad it was last year. But that seems kind of not true because I went back and looked at all of the not all of them, but I looked at a bunch of transcripts last year, the press conferences with Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans. This was a question throughout the season of guys talking about it. I mean, I wanted to make sure that I remembered it correctly and what week it was. I found stuff from week 14. Bro, if it's an issue in week 14, it's an issue all season long, and it's still an issue now because obviously they didn't figure it out. But this is the foundation of your offense. So if this is an issue, like, forget about what the offensive line problems are or what CJ's issues are reading a defense maybe – post-snap. Anything post-snap is a moot point at that point, right?
Yeah, no, I would agree. Like, it's if you can't get the play called, you can't get to the line of scrimmage. Now, obviously, I do think we're probably overblowing it a little bit, but
we're taking
point,
the cues from them.
Right, because getting back to something you said earlier, like if they're talking about it, that it was a negative last year, what do we know about the Texans and the way they talk about the team to us, the media? Usually very glowingly. So if they're willing to admit that something has gone wrong, it's probably significant, right? Or at least significant to them. Because I think if it was like just okay or, well, it's still too early, they wouldn't even tell us the negative.
They don't in the moment. They do when they reflect. So they're much more honest about their situation. One, with their actions. Like, they told us the offensive line was so good the last 2 years. All those great offensive linemen are no longer Houston Texans. So, baloney. Two, if you – and I've talked about this before on the air on Kicking It with Kunkel, my show, and here on ESPN Radio 97.5 as we're live at Rodeo Goat in Edo. And, by the way, the juice down here is awesome. Like, it's so much fun.
Yeah, the atmosphere is great.
It's so cool. By the way, are these people – astronauts? What are they? No, they're construction workers. It looks like they got the blue NASA shirts on.
That looks like something you'd wear at a chemical plant.
Maybe.
I don't know.
They look official.
I'm taking wild guesses right now.
I mean, there's an American patch on the arm. They
have
their name
tags. Going by the name patch. The name patch on the front.
It's somewhere between construction and astronaut. I'm not sure which.
That is a large window.
There is a major gap. But as I was saying. What were we talking about?
Pre-snap.
If you listen to D'Amico Ryans over the years, and it's something you have to be kind of part of the media to do it, only because, like, no one wastes their time watching every single press conference. So if you go – like, I go to every press conference, and listening to D'Amico, you can pick up on things. He never says, like, yeah, our offensive line is dog doo-doo. He'll never say that. But what he does do is when he names leaders, he never, ever, ever named Tytus Howard or Laremy Tunsil. So it's Will Anderson, Jalen Petrie, Danielle Hunter, C.J. Stroud, he does mention, in the way the Texans are, the Texans' way in that swarm mentality. Never mentioned those guys, and they're all out the window. He never mentioned one offensive lineman through the process. They are doing that now in the way they talk about Wyatt Teller, Keelan Rutledge. Cole Popovich talked about it afterwards, like everything we saw on tape we are getting so far. So like you'll pick up on cues of we want to – I remember talking to D'Amico at the Combine last year, or 2 years ago. We want to revamp the mentality of the offensive line. So now it's postseason.
Less Gucci bags, more Wranglers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says that after the season. He wouldn't say that in the regular season, but you can pick up on cues. So to your point, you're right. They always kind of talk glowingly and gloss over it because they're not going to smash Like in the, I also think the way he talks to us, the media, and portrays his team is a whole different way of what he says in meetings.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's no
I
way
think he's honest with them in meetings.
Way to go, guys! Yeah. 7 sacks today, not bad.
8 sacks against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
great. Well done, boys.
Love what we're doing. Obviously,
Let's
it's
keep
working.
It up. Yeah, no, he's. I'm sure he's much more fiery in the team meetings.
Yes, and much more like film don't lie. Like that's
no.
the bottom. Like when you play sports, the tape don't lie. When you watch it and you throw it on, bro, you suck at XYZ. You don't have to go out to the media and tell us that. First of all, we know. Like, unfortunately, it's so bad.
We could see C.J. Stroud throwing 4 picks in the first half.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
We could see him fumble it 5 times against the Steelers.
You go the deeper level. Now, those games are different. It's like, why did it happen? How did it happen? Was it all his fault? What are the issues that made that happen? But, no, like, you're now seeing, you know what it is? It's like vindication. It's like when you get out of a bad relationship. And you're like, I knew she was crazy. Like, I knew it. Now you're like, I knew that something was wrong with this offense.
We knew the offensive line couldn't run block.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the vindication. They signed 2 guys and drafted a guy in the first round.
And I knew something was wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it because we're not on the headset. If we could be on headset, we'd be like, oh, my gosh, this is insane.
How bad, Will, did they struggle on the goal line to punch it in from 1 yard out?
Broncos.
It was like the hardest thing. They made it look – you know, good teams make hard, difficult things look easy. They made something should be easy look like the most difficult thing in the world. So, you know, D'Amico from a linebacker mindset had to just be dying inside every time they couldn't punch it in from the one.
It was one of those moments where you could tell it was like D'Amico was like, run the ball.
Yeah.
Run. It was like that remember the Titans moment of they won't gain another yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, run it. I don't give it. Do it. Run it. Or it's a tin cup. Give me a ball. Like,
oh,
again.
He just kept swinging, again. swinging. Yeah.
Or from Miracle, and they blow the whistle, like, again. Like, running suicide or skating suicides. Like, bro, they didn't have the ability. So now it's coming to fruition of, like, what all the fans saw. Like, fans aren't stupid when it's that bad. You can't run. You can't pass block. And it's not always CJ's fault. And now we're kind of learning that the pre-snap operation. Now, I don't know where that falls. I have to admit, like, I just don't know.
Well, I mean, CJ, what was notable year to year, from year 2 to year 3, CJ got the ability to make checks and changes, right?
But they also changed
Bobby
the OC.
They did, but, I mean, that is a variable that we can't ignore. Like, under Bobby Sloak, those first 2 years, CJ wasn't allowed to make the protection calls or audible. It was kind of, you know, that Shanahan-Kubiak style where everything is in the hands of the head coach and the play caller, not the quarterback. But when they went to Kaylee, they gave Stroud more freedom.
But is Kaylee doing a good job setting him up
in
order to be prepared to make the calls? Like, is the call
hard to say without being in the meeting room?
Time?
Yeah, it's hard to say without being in the headset and being in the meeting room.
That's what
room,
I'm saying. So, like, I got to be intellectually honest here and not just throw shade at a certain player because I think it actually falls on everybody. Because I think everybody's kind of bears a little bit of responsibility, whether it's Kaylee not getting the call in on time, CJ not relaying it, Jake Patterson not having the ability as a center to identify XYZ or CJ, not being able to identify ABC on the defense. I don't know what it is, but everyone's got to be at fault if it's not happening well for 20 weeks. And now that's an issue again. It's such a bummer because it's something that's so simple, yet we take it for granted because it happens every single day in the NFL. But it's a lot to digest. Maybe it's why they haven't given CJ the contract. I don't know. Like, it's all speculation.
Yeah, there's a lot baked into why they haven't given CJ the contract. But I think if it's bad again, then, I mean, I think there's only 2 places to really point the finger, right? It's the OC and the quarterback.
Well, right.
If between them, it's still they're getting out of the huddle late. They're having trouble getting plays called in early. And because of that, they have no time at the line to shift protection or audible if they're in an unfavorable run look and, you know, audible to a pass. If that's happening again, the only 2 places you can point the finger is the quarterback and the OC.
If it's happening again, I'm going to blame it 100% on the OC. Because
really?
You have to change something. You have to change the way in which you relay it or in which the way it needs to be called. Change the language. Because you can't just be like, oh, he'll figure it out and then it doesn't happen.
That's fair.
Because
good coaches adapt to their players, yeah.
Which Nick Kaylee allegedly is famous for. putting his players in position to have success. That can't just be on the field.
Did we see that?
No, that's another thing.
I don't feel like we necessarily saw that.
But that's what the talking point was coming into his hiring, right?
Yeah.
Was he puts guys in position.
He was Sean McVay's coffee bringer. I was never excited about the hire.
I wasn't either. I never was excited about it from the standpoint of he had never done it. This was an NFL team ready to win a Super Bowl. You are not trying to figure it out. You're not trying to learn on the job. This is not a learn on the job. This is a prime time. The time is now. Here's our window job.
Yeah.
And Nick wasn't that guy.
No.
Nothing against Nick. It doesn't mean he wouldn't be that guy. And it doesn't mean that he wouldn't have been the right hire. But if you look at the resume, you say, ooh, that okay. So we're going to try to catch lightning in a bottle or like hope that he's the next guy. And that then goes to the conversation of, can you win a Super Bowl or maintain success with a defensive head coach?
You want to carry that over?
Yes, I do.
Let's carry that over. Let's marinate a little bit.
All right, so can you win a Super Bowl? Can you maintain success in the NFL with a defensive-minded head coach? I love DeMeco Ryans as a head coach, and I think he's a great head coach. That doesn't mean that that you can do that. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break here in a couple minutes. We are live at the Rodeo Goat in Edo in Houston. You guys come on down here. Get the dad bod. This burger looks unbelievable. It's a beef patty, fried mac and cheese, applewood smoked bacon, queso arugula, thank God, and Fresno ale. Like,
you were big on that arugula,
well,
Will.
It's just like you're reading these ingredients.
Amazing ingredients, Will.
And then all of a sudden, arugula.
Yeah, yeah.
A dash of green just to help your ego or whatever. We got a whole bunch of FIFA-themed cocktails down here. The orange Olay, the red card, the Copa Colada. And also, you can win two tickets to a World Cup game. These things are going for thousands of dollars. You come down here, play a soccer skee-ball style contest starting at 2 o'clock at the Rodeo Goat downtown, and you can win two tickets to a FIFA World Cup. Give us a follow on ESPN 97.5 Houston on Twitter. You can do it as well on YouTube. And I'm live on TikTok as well. Will Kunkel, your host, kicking it with Kunkel. We'll be right back here in a couple minutes.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Rodeo Goat in Edo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Will Kunkel.
What's up, Houston? We are live at Rodeo Goat. Welcome inside, kicking it with Kunkel. You are kicking it with Kunkel. We are live at the Rodeo Goat. Looking at this menu today, and
what you getting?
Bro,
have you made the decision?
You know what I kind of want to do? Order every single one of them.
Company's
buying, right?
Let's talk off air. I'm not sure. I haven't been to this location before. I went to the one in Fort Worth, which I believe is where it started. And they have tater tot nachos, which are insane. But I don't know what you're looking for today.
Man, here's the thing. So, like, you're here all day, and we just talked about this, is you can't get a burger now because you're here all day. Because
they don't want another burger at 5
o'clock.
Another
one later.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to kind of split the time up. I mean, they have the Bodacious, which is American cheese, bacon, crispy onions, grilled jalapenos, pickles, smoked jalapeno mayo, Bodacious barbecue sauce. They have the Dad Bod, which I've mentioned a few times, beef patty, fried mac and cheese, applewood smoked bacon, queso arugula, and Fresno aioli. They have the Royale with cheese, which is American cheese, chopped onions, jalapeno, bacon, mustard, and spiked ketchup. Bro, this whole menu is crazy. And I'm looking at other people's food. It's kind of creepy, but it all looks really, really good. They got FIFA World Cup cocktails, the Orange Olay, Red Card, and Copa Colada. And also they will be doing a two-ticket giveaway to a World Cup game, which is thousands of dollars worth of merch when it comes to those tickets, at 2 o'clock until about 4:15. It's kind of like a soccer, skee-ball-style contest. You got to kick a soccer ball into a skee ball deal, and you get points. And if you're in the top eight, you advance with a chance to win.
All right, say skee ball.
Yeah.
I love me some skee-ball. You play much skee-ball?
You know who's really good at skee-ball is my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go to, like, an arcade. We love pinball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll go to one, and she will whip my ass.
Okay.
I think it's bad enough to where when I do win, I wear her out. Like, I talk so much smack because she wins too much.
If you were to go to arcade, what is your game? Because clearly it's
pinball.
Pinball, that's your game? Okay.
Yeah, what else? I guess what else is there now? I don't even know.
Well, there's skee ball. There's Papa Shot. I love Papa Shot.
Yeah, I love Papa Shot, but if you're not
air hockey.
Really, oh, yeah.
I was never very good at air hockey, though. I was also never good at pinball.
I love pinball because there's so many different ones.
Oh, that is true. No, they're fun. They look great. I just sucked at it.
The lights get me every time. Being at a casino. All right, I want to get to the HRNP listener hotline if you guys want to chime in and dial in. 713-780-3776, and that includes anybody watching on my TikTok at Will Kunkel or on YouTube or Twitch. 713-780-3776. Let's talk Astros quickly, and then we're going to get into DeMeco Ryans and whether or not he's the man for the job because he is a defensive head coach. Astros lose last night. H-Town Wheelhouse, host of the Astros Locked On podcast. Brett, my boy, how you feeling, man? Because your Astros stink. They lose to the Angels, they lose to the Rockies, and they lose to the Twins. Some of the worst teams in all of baseball, brother. How you doing?
Man, you know what? If it was any other year, I would be doing worse. But, I mean, look, this team is a poorly constructed roster coupled with injury-laden players, coupled with, oh, look, we just signed this guy who has a lot of upside, but he's been sitting in AAA. Surely he'll come give us, you know, he'll give us life. And then you have your some of your most reliable pitchers recently kind of faltering a little bit. Of course, you can't expect Spencer Arrieta to be excellent every start. He has been kind of one of the luckiest pitchers, but he's been great this year. Taiwei Tang has kind of come down to earth a little bit. Man, 2026 is a year that when the wins happen, I'm excited. When the losses happen, I expect them, and I am not getting too emotional about 2026.
So do you think – okay, hold on. Out of what you've just said, who's the guy in AAA you thought was going to become the savior?
Well, no. I mean, you know, they went ahead and made that trade with the Rays for cash because they had more injuries. And so, you know, hey, man, he's in AAA, and I'm sure they see something in him, and I don't know. It's just like, look, the Montley Jr. Hey, man, you know, I think people criticize that move. He came in, he was kicking butt, taking names, and then what do you know? He's an Astro, so he gets a soft tissue injury. Here you go. This is how we initiate our players. You do not condition well before the game. Don't drink any water. Pull a hammy. It's okay. You'll go on the IL. We'll see you when you come back.
So you say the roster is poorly constructed. Why do you say that? Where do you feel like it's poorly constructed, and where do you think it could be better?
Well, I mean, clearly the outfield is missing. I mean, when you've got the lowest OPS in all of baseball.
The outfield sucks.
And it's terrible. And, you know, look, I love Jake Meyer's pursuit of the ball in the outfield. I love his glove. But his arm is not good. His bat, we saw the outlier, the 290 batting average last year. That just hasn't shown up. Cam Smith continues to be not a complete zero at the plate. Last night he hit a home run. He can hit on the road, but he can't hit at home. I don't understand that. But they just got – they're just piecemealed. I mean, when Jordan's out there, great. He's got a great arm and all that stuff. But you can absolutely run on this outfield most of the time. And – You've got that issue. Then you've got Carlos Correa, who you brought over. He's out for the season. And then you had Nick Allen. You brought him in because you traded him with Mauricio Dubon. It was Nick. Oh, he's injured. And they were not able to execute in the market, whether it's trade or free agency, to bring in someone who could help them out, a Burleson, Donovan, other guys that probably could have helped this roster both on the field and at the plate. They've got too many guys in a position here or there, and then all the guys they have filling it are like quadruple A players. You know, I think Jeremy calls them 4A Shea. You know, poor Shea Whitcomb gets that moniker, but This is what it is, man. You've got a bunch of glorified minor leaguers, right? And it's just frustrating, man.
So we're 6 weeks away from the trade deadline on August 3rd. Where do you fall? Because I'm in the camp of you. Whatever you do, you gotta do. Like, I don't like the 1 foot in, 1 foot out thing, especially when you have such a poor farm system. Like, there's nobody in the minor leagues that says, all right, next year they're a big leaguer, they're gonna make our club that much better. What do you think they should do, and where do you think the metric is to make that decision come trade deadline August 3rd?
So June, I have been calling it on our show, it's a make or break month for the Astros. I mean, you just got through losing 2 of 3 to a team that, and for all intents and purposes, you should have swept. You're going to Kansas City next, who is 28-40, who you should absolutely beat the brakes off of. I don't care if they've got Bobby Witt Jr. He is one person. He's not pitching. You've got this month. If you get to the end of June and you cannot get out of June with an over 500 record, a few games, 5 or 6 games over 500 in the month of June, then you are absolutely in a position to where if you are not going to buy, you need to sell. And you need to find the pieces that you're willing to part with, okay? I just don't know if the Astros have the guts or the cojones to pull the trigger on someone that would have value like a Jerry Pena. Look, Dana Brown says Jerry Pena, Jordan Alvarez, they are cornerstones. I believe the Jordan Alvarez part. But they said that before. Didn't he say Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker would both be Astros, would remain Astros? What happened? They didn't. So you've got to decide as an organization, if you're out of it at the end of June and you're further back, almost 10 games out of the West, and I don't know, 6 games out of the wild card, are you going to just you either ride the roster the rest of the year and you just like, it is what it is, we'll take our losses, or do you try to get rid of some guys that are talent to bring back something that could fill your farm system, and who out there is willing to trade? It's going to be a contender, or it's going to be a team that has a solid farm system. Because don't look for the trade deadline, because who are you going to give them? You know, you don't really have much to give, but maybe you can get some of your talent to get something back.
So I'm glad that you pointed to the record versus the standings, because this is the conversation that I have with so many Astro fans, is I don't care how far back you are, because this is an anomaly of a season in the American League that you can be 2.5 games back, but you could also be 6 games under 500. And you got to look within. You got to look at your franchise and your team and where you stand for the future and what kind of ball club you are. And just saying you're 2.5 games back makes it sound like you're actually a good competitive team, but in reality, you're 9 games under 500. You're not. So I like that that's the way you're looking. What's interesting to me is that if they choose to sell, it's a seller's market, and they could potentially have the best player at any position that they choose to sell at, whether it's Jeremy Pena at shortstop, Isak Paredes at third base, Christian Walker at first base, and Jordan Alvarez left field slash DH, or even, you know, I don't think they would trade Hunter Brown, but if they chose to, then they could have the best pitcher outside of Tarik Skubal on the market. They could control the market, which makes it even that much more enticing to me, be like, damn, we could get it, all of it back. But then there's obviously the argument of what you get back. If they're not proven commodities, then it's just all a risk.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think three of the 5 guys that you mentioned, I think are more realistic than the others. I think Hunter Brown and Jordan Alvarez are immovable objects at this point. I think Pena makes sense. Isak Paredes makes sense, and Christian Walker makes sense. Look, now
I didn't mention Josh Hader. I think Josh Hader should be completely gone if they
right.
sell.
Like, no, Josh.
Sure.
Look. You know, Josh Hader does have that contract, but yeah, I mean, you could move him. And look. I'm always positive, always Stros guy. So I'm always like glasses half full. But at some point, you have to come to the realization that, hey, you know what? We got to put this dog down. And if by putting the dog down, it means bringing new life to the club, and saying, you know what, Jerome Pena, we love you, thank you for your services, but, man, we got this haul coming. Or, I mean, Christian Walker and all of these guys I'm talking about and that you were talking about, they're all contributors, right? But we're not taken away from a team that's on a championship run. We're taken away from a team that is not good at baseball. I mean, you can't even beat the Angels in a series. You lose the first series to the Angels in 11 years. In 11 years, no Astros team has lost a series in Anaheim. 11. Jeez. That goes beyond the golden years. So what are we doing, Jim Crane? What are we doing?
Well, that's the thing is, okay, you want to keep these players so you can make the playoffs, if that's the other side of the argument. Okay, well, you're under 500 by 8 games with them. And I know that you haven't been 100%, but you're never going to be 100%. But the guys that we're talking about trading have been healthy, other than Hader. You're not good with them. You might as well get rid of them and bring something back. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not going to pretend that I do. But I think that whatever Dana Brown, Jim Crane, and Joe Espada talk about and want to do, I think they got to do it full board. Jump in that water and make that decision and commit to it versus trying to win, trying to sell, trying to do X, Y, Z. Like, do it all. Whatever you're going to do, do it all. You got anything else to say?
Well, hey.
I appreciate you, bro.
No, yeah, definitely. No, man, you do a great job as always, man. I'm one of those hidden talents right now in H-Town, and if people don't know about you, then they definitely have been living under a rock. But I will say this. I discovered this because I've been trying to study the draft more and get into the draft. And ooh, those are some tall weeds to work through. I admire these draft guys who know these guys in and out. But do you realize the Astros missed picking Kevin McGonigal because he was a high schooler? Do you realize the Astros could have picked McGonigal could have been a Houston Astro? And I discovered that yesterday, and I got really pissed off.
Well, what, they have a hard and fast rule that they won't take high schoolers? Is that why you say that?
Well, I think the high schooler thing, they've gone away from it since Whitley. I think they've been going for more like proven guys that are in college, you know, stuff like that. That's just been their track record lately. But the fact that they picked, and I forget who they picked when McGonigal went, but man, gosh, he would look great in a Astros uniform.
Hey, Sean Wheelhouse, I appreciate you coming on. Everybody find the Locked On Astros podcast on YouTube. Find him on Instagram, H-Town Wheelhouse. You're the man. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, brother, have a good one. And, hey, man, I won't be in the States when we go to the World Cup, but go USA. I'm going to be sailing the seven seas on a family cruise, brother.
Damn, good for you. Good for you. Be safe. Is it Carnival?
No, it's Royal Caribbean.
Good. All right, good. Thank God. All right, see you, buddy.
Later.
All right, so coming up next, we're going to take a break here. We're going to get back into the Texans and – is because of all the issues that they are having seemingly still on the offensive side of the ball through OTAs and minicamp. Is D'Amico Ryans the right man for this job? And I am a huge D'Amico Ryans fan I am a huge fan of D'Amico Ryans as a head coach. But can you win in the NFL consistently with a defensive-minded head coach? This is ESPN Radio 97.5 live at the Rodeo Goat. Will Kunkel filling in for Rich Eisen today. Kicking it with Kunkel. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, y'all.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.